Hello, and welcome to Onk Live On Air. I'm your host today, Jason Harris. Onk Live On Air is a podcast from Onk Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onk Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, I spoke with Pei-Ling Shen, MD, PhD, a member of the Pathology and Cutaneous Oncology Departments at Moffitt Cancer Center, and a member of the Moffitt Cutaneous Lymphoma Multidisciplinary Clinic, about cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, CTCL, for our monthly rare cancer series. Incidence of CTCL has increased slowly but steadily since the 1970s. Overall incidence was 7.7 cases per 1 million population from 2001 to 2005. The 5-year survival rate also increased over that period until 1997 to 2005, when the 5-year rate plateaued at 78.3%. Early stage disease presents with scaly patches alone, or patches and plaques of different shapes and sizes, commonly located on the sun-protected areas of the body. At this point, CTCL can look like a number of skin conditions, making it one of the most challenging diseases to diagnose. Advanced stage disease can be highly disfiguring and lethal, and often fails to respond to multiple forms of systemic therapy. Black patients have a higher incidence rate, younger age of onset, higher disease burden, and inferior survival compared with whites. Investigators do not understand the cause of the racial disparities of CTCL, but Dr. Chen recently published results from a study of skin biopsies and fresh tissue specimens collected from 56 patients with transformed CTCL that may provide answers. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Shen detailed the findings from that study and discussed how those results could affect treatment of patients with CTCL. She also gave her perspective on findings from the Phase 3 FLASH trial, which showed that hypericin, a novel, skin-directed, non-mutagenic photodynamic therapy, induced a response rate of 16% in patients, compared with 4% for patients assigned to placebo, and discussed the need for more research funding in CTCL. Dr. Chen, thank you for joining us this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your invitation for this interview. We're really excited to share what we have done at Moffitt and also a few exciting new studies with you.
On a very basic level, because we're talking about a rare disease, what exactly is CTCL?
So cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, CTCLs, are a group of rare and incurable rare cancer of skin homing T-cells. By definition, a rare cancer has an annual incidence of less than 6 per 100,000 people per year. So in the case of CTCL, the annual incidence is approximately 3,000. This is a rare cancer where the skin is the primary site of involvement. And at advanced stage disease, it can progress to involve lymph nodes, blood, and visceral organs.
Typically, Dr. Chen, how does the disease present?
In terms of epidemiology, CTCL is more common in men, typically presents in patients greater than 50 years of age. And in Black African-American patients, they have reported to have higher incidence rate, earlier age of disease onset, more aggressive clinical course, and poorer survival. In terms of the clinical manifestation, there are two main forms of CTCLs, mycosis fungoides and Sézary syndrome. So mycosis fungoides is clinically characterized by cutaneous patch, plaque, and or tumor lesions, and this group comprises approximately 50 to 70% of CTCLs. Sézary syndrome is a leukemic variant where the malignant T cells circulate in the blood, and this group comprises 3 to 5% of CTCLs. So the two main forms, mycosis fungoides and Sézary syndrome. Clinical presentation, we have patch, plaque, tumor lesion, which is like a thicker plaque. And in the leukemic variant, the patient classically often present with body redness, total body erythroderma. And at advanced stage disease, CTCL is highly disfiguring, can be highly lethal and disfiguring.
Who's the typical patient? I believe it, Black African Americans are more likely to develop CTCL, and it's also more common in men and older patients.
Yeah, so in terms of epidemiology, it's reportedly more common in men than women, about 1.5 to 2 times. The classic patient age group is greater than 50 years of age. And it is true in Black and African American patients, there's a higher incidence rate, earlier age of disease onset, more aggressive clinical course, and poorer survival. So there is racial disparity in CTCL from large-scale SEER studies.
Do investigators know why Black patients present that sort of disease?
This has been more of a clinical study that we have, you know, seen racial disparity in CTCL. In terms of the biological correlate of racial disparity in CTCL, I think it is very poorly understood. We will probably be talking about the recent study from Moffitt. We did try to address a potential genomic correlate of CTCL.
What's the typical prognosis and five-year survival for these patients?
The majority of patients, CTCL patients, present and stay as indolent lymphoma. They have years and decades of patch plaque lesions and nothing more. But there are a subgroup of patients who undergo cancer transition from patch to plaque to tumor lesions and even develop something what we call as large cell transformed tumors, where the, you know, the cancer cells undergo histologic transition to a large cell lymphoma. And there are also patients who present as de novo, present with initial manifestation with transformed CTCL at initial presentation. So I would say the clinical behavior is unpredictable. So early stage disease, patients with patch plaque lesions and lower percentage of body surface area involvement, the prognosis is usually very good. However, patients with advanced stage disease, the prognosis is not as good, and oftentimes they fail multiple forms of systemic therapies.
Typically, in its early stages, CTCL, as I understand it, looks like a lot of other diseases. So does that complicate the diagnosis at all?
Yes, for early stage disease, this is a very challenging, this is actually one of the most challenging entity in dermatology and dermatopathology, because it can clinically and histologically mimic a lot of benign inflammatory skin disease, such as eczema, psoriasis. So we often need a biopsy to confirm the diagnosis. And sometimes one biopsy is not enough. You need serial biopsies, even up to a decade, to confirm a diagnosis of cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. So oftentimes requiring a lot of patience from the patients, the treating physician, as well as the pathologist. So it is a multidisciplinary team. And sometimes it just takes, it's the nature of the disease, it takes time to diagnose.
We had talked previously about survival in CTCL, and we had discussed that it's getting better, but it's still typically fatal when it reaches the advanced stages. So kind of what's going on to look for a cure for CTCL?
As I previously talked about, the early stage disease does have very good prognosis. The advanced stage disease, the prognosis is much less favorable, requiring that the patients can fail multiple forms of systemic therapy.
So then what is the typical management for this disease?
So patients with early stage disease, as I mentioned, have an excellent prognosis and are typically managed primarily with skin-directed therapies such as local radiation, topical steroids, topical imiquimod, retinoids, UVA, UVB phototherapies. So that's the typical management for patients with early stage disease. Patients with advanced stage MF or Sézary, they often require multiple lines and recurrent courses of systemic therapies. There are many systemic agents available. A lot of them are in clinical trial setting. It's often challenging to know how to prioritize these therapies to address, you know, each patient's clinical presentation, objective disease, and quality of life issues. We also have to understand that the disease is heterogeneous. So what we have seen in studies is that some agents, the patients have compartmentalized response, meaning some agents target the blood disease better than skin and vice versa. So advanced stage disease, there are a lot of systemic therapies available to patients right now. So brentuximab was FDA approved in 2017 based on the Alcanza trial. The response rate was not universal. I think it was about 55%. Median progression-free survival is about 16 months. Mogamulizumab is another FDA-approved agent based on the MAVERICK trial. It shows superior performance in the blood compartment compared to the skin, and the median progression-free survival is 7.7 months. Other than these two agents, other systemic therapies are in clinical trial setting, alemtuzumab, et cetera, pralatrexate. So there are options for patients with advanced stage disease. However, what I see is progression-free survival is often short in duration, and patients go from one therapy to the next until the next progression.
Have investigators identified any prognostic biomarkers?
That is something that is under active studies right now, and that requires biospecimen to look for prognostic biomarkers from tissues, from blood, mutation studies, and that is actively ongoing. There are, for example, CD30, CCR4 mutation status, but I think we need a larger data set.
You led a study evaluating comprehensive multiomics from a rare cohort of 56 patients with transformed CTCL. So can you talk a little bit about that study and your findings?
What I study is considered kind of the rarest of the rare cancer, because CTCL is already a rare disease. And what I study is one of the, you know, aggressive CTCL in a transformed, large cell transformed state where the malignant T cells undergo histologic transition to essentially a large cell lymphoma. So I started this study, my omics study with transformed CTCL, because at the present time, transformed CTCL is considered a rarest of rare cancer with no cure. I personally think the lack of biospecimen for this disease entity contributes to lack of genome level investigation and therefore poorly understood biology. So what we did at Moffitt was, the two questions I pitched was, what are the genomic landscape and potential therapeutic vulnerabilities of CTCL at large cell transformation? And second is, how is advanced stage disease in the skin compartment different from the advanced stage disease in the blood compartment at the genomic level? So to begin the study, I collected a cohort of 56 patients with transformed CTCL. I collected skin biopsies from these patients for multi-omics profiling. From these 56 patients, I performed whole exome sequencing from 70 skin biopsies from 54 patients. We also did single-cell RNA-seq studies from 16 skin biopsies from 8 patients, as well as building a precious tissue microarray of skin biopsies from 21 patients for multiplex immunofluorescence studies. From this study, what we saw was that from the whole exome sequencing, what we saw was that transformed CTCL has a high tumor mutation burden, and also that UV signature is prognostic for favorable survival from time of large cell transformation. Interestingly, when we stratified the whole exome sequencing data from, in Black African-American patients versus white, what we saw was that the Black African-American patients showed reduced UV signature and also enrichment of a unique signature cluster with DNA mismatch repair and some unknown mutation signatures. Therefore, I think this is the first genomic study kind of providing a glimpse of potential genomic correlate of racial disparity in CTCL. And we hypothesized that enriched signature other than UV, for example, the DNA mismatch repair, likely drive worse outcomes in the Black African-American patients. In addition, besides the mutation signatures, we also look for the landscape of exome-based driver events with most recurrent mutated pathways and show distinct genomic profile between transformed CTCL in the skin versus Sézary syndrome malignant T cells in the blood. Providing opportunities to exploit differential or synergistic therapeutic vulnerabilities in two body compartments at advanced stage disease. Lastly, from the single-cell RNA-seq study, the reason we performed single-cell RNA-seq profiling of transformed CTCL from skin biopsies is because the transformed CTCL tumor microenvironment is very complex. You have malignant T cells mixed with benign T cells, other immune cells, stromal cells, fibroblasts, endothelial cells. So we wanted to tease apart this complex tumor microenvironment so that we can find a unique signature to the malignant from the malignant T cells. But by simultaneously profiling each cell for their whole transcriptome, TCR clonotype, and infer copy number, we were able to separate the genomic signature between the malignant T cells from the normal benign immune cells. And what we saw was we identified a unique 55-gene malignant T-cell oncogenic program showing upregulation of OXPHOS, MYC, stemness pathway genes, macrophage migration inhibitory factor activities, as well as downregulation of MHC1, suggestive of immune escape. So and some of these signatures have already been validated, functionally validated in limited T-cell MF and also T-cell lymphoma cell lines. And we are actually undertaking additional studies to further look for potential therapeutic vulnerabilities.
this could eventually lead to targeted therapies for CTCL in the sometime in the far future.
That is what we hope for, though this is actually a very there's a lot of challenges with this. So I think I mocked it because we have a large CTCL clinic. It somehow overcame the barrier of lack of biospecimen, but I would say my study was still a limited cohort. So we definitely need to understand this disease better. We need more. In some sense, we need to sequence more. And to validate these, to also identify therapeutic vulnerabilities, we also need more cell lines, more animal models. And generating these has been a challenge. But we are trying to, based on these the single cell RNA-seq signature, we're trying to target these pathways in patient cell lines and also commercialized cell line. There's one that we're using to see if we can identify good therapeutic targets for this terrible disease.
I just, to close out, I wanted to ask you a bit about the phase 3 FLASH trial and the data that's come out of there using fluorescent light for patients with CTCL. So have you seen those results and what is your take on them?
So this is a study led by Dr. Ellen Kim at UPenn. I think it's a very important study given that mycosis fungoides is a chronic disease. There's a need for additional therapy with minimal, short, and long-term adverse effects. So topical hyperacin ointment is activated with a visible light. This is a novel non-mutagenic photodynamic therapy. So in this study, this is a multi-center study from 2015 to 2020 involving 39 academic centers. There were 169 participants greater than 18 years of age with early stage disease, stage 1A to 2A, mycosis fungoides / CTCL. So this is a study where so the patients were randomized to receive hyperacin versus placebo to 3 index lesions twice weekly for 6 weeks. So that's cycle 1. Cycle 2, the patients receive active drug for 6 weeks to the index lesions. And in cycle 3, both index and additional lesions receive active drug for 6 weeks. So the endpoint was index lesion response rate. So in this study, comprised of 169 patients, what she found was that patients with early stage MS, CTCL, after 6 weeks of treatment, hyperacin was more effective than placebo. The index lesion response rate was 16%. And the ILR, index lesion response rate, increased to 40% in patients who received 2 cycles, and then to 49% after 3 cycles. So this is a significant clinical response were observed both in patch lesions and plaque lesions. I think this is quite important because it provided an important new therapy for early stage disease patients with minimal adverse effect.
That's all we have time for today. Thanks to my guest, Dr. Peiling Chin, and thank you for listening to this episode of Onc Live On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates on oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Onc Live is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Onc Live and at Onc Live SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.